I'm going to try to get killed. Pauling said she would be in the Majestic's lobby in 2 hours and headed for the subway. Reacher started walking north on Hudson, not fast, not slow, center of the left-hand sidewalk. 12 stories above him and 10 yards behind his left shoulder was a north-facing window. It had heavy black cloth taped behind it. The cloth had been peeled back across a quarter of its width to make a tall, narrow slit, as if a person in the room had wanted at least a partial view of the city. Reacher crossed Morton and Barrow and Christopher. On West 10th, he started zigzagging through the narrow, tree-lined village streets, east for a block, then north, then west, then north again. He made it to the bottom of 8th Avenue and walked north for a spell, and then started zigzagging again where the Chelsea side streets were quiet. He stopped in the lee of a brownstone's front steps and bent down and retied his shoes. Walked on and stopped again behind a big, square, plastic trash bin and studied something on the ground. At West 23rd Street, he turned east and then north again on 8th. Stuck to the center of the left-hand sidewalk and slow-marched onward. Patty Joseph and the Majestic lay a little more than 2 miles ahead in a dead straight line, and he had a whole hour to get there. 30 minutes later, at Columbus Circle, Reacher entered Central Park. Daylight was fading. Shadows had been long, but now they were indistinct. The air was still warm. Reacher stuck to the paths for a spell, and then he stepped off and walked a haphazard and unofficial route through the trees. He stopped and leaned against one trunk facing north, then another facing east. He got back on the path and found an empty bench and sat down with his back to the stream of people walking past. He waited there until the clock in his head told him it was time to move. Reacher found Lauren Pauling waiting in one of a group of armchairs in the Majestic's lobby. She had freshened up. She looked good. She had qualities. Reacher found himself thinking that Kate Lane might have ended up looking like that 20 years down the road. "I stopped by and asked that Russian super," she said. "He'll go over later tonight to fix the door."
"Good.
You didn't get killed?" He sat down beside her. "Something else I got wrong. I've been assuming there was inside help from one of Lane's crew, but now I don't think there can have been. Yesterday morning, Lane offered me $1 million. This morning, when he lost hope, he told me to find the bad guys, seek and destroy. He was about as serious as a man can get. Anyone watching from the inside would have to assume I was pretty well motivated, and I've shown them that I'm at least partially competent, but nobody has tried to stop me. And they would try, wouldn't they? Any kind of an inside ally would be expected to, but they haven't. I just spent 2 hours strolling through Manhattan, side streets, quiet places, Central Park. I kept stopping and turning my back. I gave whoever it might be 12 chances to take me out, but nobody tried. Would they have been on your tail? That's why I wanted to start between Clarkson and Leroy. That's got to be some kind of a base camp. They could have picked me up there. How could they have done this whole thing without inside help?
I have absolutely no idea.
You'll figure it out.
Say that again.
Why? You need inspiration?
I just like the sound of your voice.
You'll figure it out, Pauling said, low and husky, like she had been getting over laryngitis for the last 30 years. They checked in at the desk and then rode up to 7 in the elevator. Patty Joseph was out in the corridor, waiting for them. There was a little awkwardness when she and Pauling met. Patty had spent 5 years thinking Pauling had failed her sister, and Pauling had spent the same 5 years thinking pretty much the same thing, so there was ice to break. But the implied promise of news helped Patty thaw, and Reacher figured Pauling had plenty of experience with grieving relatives. Any investigator does.
"Coffee?"
Patty said, before they were even in through the door.
"I thought you'd never ask," Reacher said.
Patty went to the kitchen to set up the machine, and Pauling walked straight to the window, looked at the stuff on the sill, and then checked the view, raised her eyebrows in Reacher's direction, and gave a small shrug that said, "Weird, but I've seen weirder."
"So what's up?"
Patty called through. Reacher said, "Let's wait until we're all sitting down." And 10 minutes later, they all were, with Patty Joseph in tears. Tears of grief, tears of relief, tears of closure, tears of anger.
"Where's Knight now?"
Knight died, and he died hard.
Good. I'm glad.
No argument from me.
What are we going to do about Lane?
That remains to be seen. I should call Brewer. Brewer can't do anything. There's truth here, but there's no evidence. Not the kind that a cop or a prosecutor needs.
You should tell the other guys about Hobart. Tell them what Lane did to their buddy. Send them down there to see for themselves.
Might not work. They might not care. Guys that were likely to care wouldn't have obeyed the order in Africa in the first place. And now, even if they did care, the best way to deal with their own guilt would be to stay in denial. They've had 5 years' practice.
But it might be worth it, to see with their own eyes.
We can't risk it. Not unless we know for sure ahead of time what their reactions would be. Because Lane will assume Knight spilled the beans in prison. Therefore, Lane will see Hobart as a loose end now, and a threat. Therefore, Lane will want Hobart dead now. And Lane's guys will do whatever the hell Lane tells them to. So we can't risk it. Hobart's a sitting duck, literally. A puff of wind would blow him away, and his sister would get caught in the crossfire.
Why are you here?
To give you the news.
Not here. In New York. In and out of the Dakota.
Reacher said nothing.
I'm not a fool. I know what goes on. Who knows more than me? Who possibly could? And I know that the day after I stop seeing Kate Lane and Jade anymore, you show up, and people put bags in cars, and you hide in the back seat, and you come here to interrogate Brewer about the last time one of Edward Lane's wives disappeared.
Why do you think I'm here?
I think he's done it again.
Reacher looked at Pauling, and Pauling shrugged like maybe she agreed Patty deserved to hear the story. Like somehow she had earned the right through 5 long years of fidelity to her sister's memory. So Reacher told her everything he knew, told her all the facts, all the guesses, all the assumptions, all the conclusions. When he finished, she just stared at him. She said,
"You think it's real this time because of how good an actor he is?"
"No. I think nobody's that good of an actor."
"Hello. Adolf Hitler? He could work himself into all kinds of phony rages."
Patty stood up and stepped over to an armoire drawer and pulled out a packet of photographs, checked the contents, and tossed the packet into Reacher's lap. A fresh, new envelope. A 1-hour service. 36 exposures. He thumbed through the stack. Top picture was of himself, face on, coming out of the Dakota's lobby, preparing to turn toward the subway on Central Park West. Early this morning, he thought. The B train to Pauling's office. So?
Keep going.
He thumbed backward, and close to the end of the stack, he saw D. Marie Graziano, face on, coming out of the Dakota's lobby. The sun in the west. Afternoon. The picture behind it showed her from the back, going in.